But there's people who are willing, and we're praying and we're seeking God. God, help us build so that pastors are not burnt out, pastors are not spinning wheels. Like, can you, we're in this together, amen? And what you do matters. And I don't wanna create a culture where we can just, well, God told me this, and let's create an environment where we let the word of God, because listen, when God gives it to you through his word and by his spirit and weight and counsel, it will last. And you won't just ride the roller coaster of your spirituality. And some of you feel like you're on that. You're like, you're just going round and round this thing, and you wonder why you don't have more momentum or longevity. Because God will build slowly, and he'll build with pain, and he'll build with discipline. Why? Because he actually believes that Christ will come out of you in time. You guys, in Hebrews 12, I wanted to preach the whole chapter to you, but we don't have time. There's a verse at the end that says it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Isn't that amazing? Your heart needs grace. Your heart needs the grace of God. And my prayer and my hope is this morning is that the grace of God will come to you through his truth and through his word. And so let's just read a little bit. We'll maybe read a few verses and just see what the Lord does. We're going to trust him this morning to speak to our hearts. This chapter is coming on the wake of a chapter where the writer of Hebrews is really celebrating again our history. And I think it's so fitting that Rabbi Jason is coming and he's going to unlock that for us. I really encourage you to get there. I'm not just saying that. I believe we, the church, need this in this hour. We need to be connected to what's outside of just this generation. What'll happen is your heart will be strengthened. It'll be empowered. You'll notice a perspective shift. You won't be manifesting at every bad news because it's happened before. There's nothing new under the sun. Oh, come on. There's nothing new under the sun, and Jesus is still on his throne. So you can actually be at peace in 2021. Wow. Shouldn't be revelatory, but. So let's read the word of God. Therefore, say therefore.
Therefore.
Since we are surrounded, what do you know about surrounded? Since we are surrounded, say surrounded.
Surrounded.
By so great a cloud of witnesses. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the guys and the women in 11 who did great exploits through faith, who lived lives of godliness, righteousness, and you see God's testimony of these men and women of God. And he's saying, God's like, look, this guy did this, this guy did that, we celebrate this. And God is now giving the one sentence recap of these people's lives. This is amazing. You're gonna live all these lives, you're gonna build all these things, and at the end of your life, God's gonna give you a little recap, Lord willing. And he's gonna give you a commendation, and it's gonna be this real brief summary of one thing that stood out to him that's the culmination of your heart that was fully dependent and alive to him. That's what he celebrates. He celebrates faith, a heart that's fully dependent and a fully alive to him. I think just as a side note, Joseph's commendation is amazing. Verse 22, you know we love Joseph of Hebrews 11. It says this, by faith, Joseph at the end of his life made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. That's Joseph's summary from God. Wow. I don't have time to teach that, but that's a deep thing. If you just follow that thread, it's wild. So we're surrounded by these guys. We're surrounded. There's a cloud in the heavens, and the scriptures say, I want you to be aware of something. You're surrounded by them. I want you to be mindful of these people, Joseph and David and Sarah and Abraham. I need you to be aware of their story and their history and the life they live. Why? Because you're connected to them. Some of you are like, well, what am I called to? Slow down. Just pause and look at where you are. You're in the household of faith. You're in the family of God. What am I called to? Whoa, 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 whoa. you belong to God. God is your father and you're his son or daughter. And you are surrounded by people looking and watching your life. It's kind of creepy. So look at this. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. You could just marinate in that all day. Let us also lay aside every weight. Say weight.
Weight.
Some of you made those goals in 2021. There's your scripture for it. Lay aside the weight, Lord. Amen. Today, some of you are like, you didn't need that accountability today, you 10,000 calorie folks. I see you. I'm just kidding. So we're going to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance, the race that is set before us. Did you know you were in a race? Raise your hand. Keep going. Looking to Jesus. I've shared this before. That phrase has frustrated me for years. If it doesn't frustrate you, I don't know if you're doing it right. I'm real simple, y'all. Sometimes I see people like, I'm looking to Jesus. I'm like, how? Tell me how. Do you see him? Do you literally see him? Some people are like, yes. Jay's like, yes, I do. I see him. Jay's a prophet in our midst. And he sees Jesus, praise God. I have him lay hands on me about once a quarter. Just help, Lord. Jesus is the founder or the author and the perfecter of our faith. Watch this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Joy, say joy.
Joy.
Tell your face joy.
Joy.
No, I said tell your face joy. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Despising the shame and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Keep reading. Verse 3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, verse 4, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Whoa, we took a hard right. This sermon just got really real. You got to be careful when the Bible does this. The Bible will make assumptions and you got to slow way down to get the assumption that it's making. What do you mean the point of shedding my blood? Why are we talking about that? Whoa. Who said anything about shedding blood? Come on, read it. He says, guys, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Verse 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Stay with me. I'm not getting a lot of amens. They're like, oh no. Verse 7, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. Still no amens. They'll come. They'll come, Lord. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Verse 8, if you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. That's not gentle. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he, God our Father, disciplines us. Why? For our good. Why? That we may share his holiness. Share his holiness? It gets worse. For the moment, say the moment.
The moment.
Oh, we're all in the moment. All discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Say painful.
Painful.
Rather than pleasant.
Rather than pleasant.
Interesting. But later, say later.
Later.
I love later. It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We need some peaceful fruit of righteousness in the household of God. Amen. That peaceful fruit of right living, of being right with God, of expressing yourself in love and humility and holiness. I had amazing parents. One of them is here, my mom. You can thank God for her. She's amazing. And my dad, they raised me with discipline. Amen. My dad on Saturdays, my brother and I, we would have to we'd have to mow the lawn in edge and blow. It was like that was just you had to do it. Anyone here raised mowing the lawn? I never woke up and was like, I can't wait to mow the lawn. I didn't want to do it at all. And as a 10-year-old, 12-year-old kid, mowing the lawn is the worst because it takes away time from you doing what you want to do, like playing video games and all the other pleasant things that we enjoy. And so there was a measure of pain, and I never really understood why when I was in the moment, I never understood why my dad was so particular about us doing it the right way and about us doing it well and not complaining. I never understood that. I was always like, you keep beating, you know, the big joke was he would just beat the dead horse. Like the horse is dead. You've said it, it's done, right? Anyone had a dad that beat the dead horse? You had a good dad. Call him after service and thank him. Dads beat dead horses. Why? Because they care about you. They love you. You say, Peter, what does mowing the lawn have to do with living a righteous life, walking in holiness? It has a lot to do with it.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Because something happens. I want you to see this in the text. There's so much here, and I ask for the grace of God to share this with you. Sometimes the love of God is painful. I'll say it again. Sometimes the love of God is painful. And listen, I want to show you how the love of God, the discipline of God, and holiness of God is right in line with his goodness, identity, righteousness, and grace. Because they're not in opposed to each other. This isn't like, well, we need a little bit of discipline and strictness, and then we got a little bit of measure of grace. That's not how it works. God doesn't work that way. He's all in all. He's whole.
Yes.
And so the grace of God, the righteousness of God, the identity message, the new covenant, the blood, all the stuff, it functions in line with this chapter. Don't just tear out chapters that you don't like. Don't stop reading chapters you don't like. This word will lay you naked. It will expose you before his eyes. Why? So you can repent and be more like him.
Yes.
Come on, we need a witness in the world today of what God looks like. Do you know how the world's gonna know what he looks like? This is his plan. I didn't come up with it. He said, hey, I'm actually cool being the head and you being the body. I'm okay with you being my expression in the earth. Your plan A, there's no plan B. The way the world will see God is through you and me. Did you know that? If you feel a little bit like, hey, that feels like a heavy burden, there's a right sobriety that comes with that truth and revelation. There's a sense of weight that, hey, you know what? You're not just living for you. You don't just get to belong in a vacuum by yourself. You belong to a body, and there's a head, and his name is Jesus. We've been in this thread, if you've been coming to the Upper Room, and it's a culture. We've been in it. My wife and I have been here since the beginning and just watched it evolve. But this culture of prayer and thanksgiving and worship and intercession, this environment that has been stewarded for the last decade plus, is so precious. An atmosphere of thanksgiving and worship and intercession. It's an environment that is designed for you and I to connect with God. Now listen, you can connect with God wherever you want, but there's something really, really special about together, corporately, having connection with God. Now listen, I wanna say this. So in light of this text, I want you to know your connection with God is not just about you connecting with God and escaping from the problems in life. No amens. Amen. This is not an escape. This is a house of transformation. And transformation is painful. Transformation is painful. Let me give you an illustration. Mike, would you come here, please? This man is the picture. He's one of my dearest friends. He's a picture of health and fitness. He's amazing. Now, what's the difference between Mike and me?
Height.
So Michelangelo, I think it was Michelangelo, said this: when he sees a chunk of marble, he doesn't think that he has to make a sculpture out of it. He just has to set it free. That there's an actual image inside of the marble, and all his job was to set that thing free. There's no difference between our physiques. I just haven't set mine free yet. Amen. Thank you. But listen, I want you to see something. All jokes aside, I mean, he's very, you know, fit. But I want you to know something. I've known Mike for a decade. He endures a lot of pain every week. For the last 30 years, he's disciplined his body not to attain something. This is the mistake. We think we're trying to attain, I'm gonna discipline myself and I'm gonna flex my way into holiness. No, 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 no. God has put his son inside of you by the Holy Spirit. God has put himself in you. Watch this. He's put himself in you by the Holy Spirit. And so there's this beautiful man inside of you. His name is Jesus. You can just take a big, deep breath. You're not trying to attain Jesus. He's been given. Oh, thank you. You don't have to climb and fight and claw. God, give me patience. Stop it. You have Christ. Oh, God, give me more compassion. No, no, no. You have Christ. God, give me more strength. No. You have all the strength you need in him. What he's doing, he's treating you as a son. And I'm gonna unpack this in a minute. He will discipline you because this is what God actually believes about you. He believes Christ is in you. And he wants Christ to come out of you. But for Christ to come out of you, your flesh has to get out of the way. And that process in that transformation of connecting with God, he'll put you in environments where your flesh has to submit to the nature of Christ. And you get a choice, you get a crossroads in the moment, in these moments of discipline, in these seasons of discipline. Here's what God will do. He will put you in an environment where you have a really distinct choice. I'm either going to let Christ out or I'm going to walk in my flesh. Oh, he's so faithful and patient. And many times we choose the flesh and we just go around the mountain. Right. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you change jobs or you change churches, and somehow the same situation is there. The same unjust boss. Oh, come on. The same betrayal, the same environment that's not fair. It's not set up for you. Come on, I'm describing discipline. It's painful. You say, what does it look like, Peter? It looks like God will put you in an environment where sin in someone else afflicts you. Can we break it down? Can we break it down? Listen, he's saying, I want you, you see, you didn't read this. You didn't roast this when we went through it. Verse 3, I need you to consider him who endured from sinners. Say sinners. I need you to consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. What is he referring to? What's he asking us to consider? Say it louder. Say it louder. Who is saying it back there? The cross. He says, I need you to spend a little bit of time marinating in the fact that this man, Jesus, endured hostility from sinners. That's not a nice thing to consider. I like to consider other things that are more pleasant. But there's something about considering the hostility. And in a moment, how many of you have had an unfair boss? How many of you have been in a situation where people have let you down? Where the church has let you down? Where a pastor should have known better? He didn't see your anointing. Oh, not as much. Well, he didn't know how anointed I am at my old church. Uh-huh. Well, why aren't you at your old church? You know? Well, we're not going to be real now. We get real and now it's okay. I see you. Listen, those moments. Well, so-and-so said this about me. Okay. Well, I'm now justifying withholding my affection and saying bad things about them because of what they did for me. And he's saying, hey, I need you to slow your roll. Church of 2021, slow your roll. You don't need to know everything about everything. Why don't we consider him who endured hostility from sinners so that we don't grow weary or faint-hearted? Yeah. Do you know how exhausting it is to have an opinion on everything that's happening in this world? Yeah. 2020 tried us all. What if we just chalked it up as discipline from the Lord? I'd be peaceful. That was discipline. That was not 2020 for most of us was not pleasant, but painful. True? True? What if we just categorize that in your heart as God put me in a trying environment called 2020 so that Christ could come out of me instead of my flesh? What if we just submit it? Because here's what we do. If you don't have this posture, if you don't have this biblical framework, when you encounter discipline, you run from it. Didn't hear me. See, when you encounter pain, you say, that's not God. No, that's not love. That's not God. Mm-mm. And you run from it and you don't actually achieve that which he was trying to produce in you, which is life in holiness. There is a holiness problem in the church. I say that to no one's shame. I believe the grace of God and the nature of God is sufficient for us. And we got to learn how to partner with God and his design to see that actually come out of our lives. Amen? This is not a burden. This is not a yoke. This isn't, hey, Peter, we're going to flex our way into 2021. This is a surrendering. God actually calls me son. I get to call him father, and he wants me to share in his holiness. He wants you set apart. And listen, look, watch this. This is so profound. Verse 2, he says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. If you do not have joy in your heart, you do not see where you're going, you will never be able to endure the cross. It's joy that allows you to endure pain because you know what's coming on the other side. This is why many of you, just to go back to fitness, you're like, I'm going to inspire myself and I'm going to look at this fitness person or that. And I'm going, that's my joy. And so I'm going to go to the gym and do all this hard work because I want that joy for myself. You guys with me? You guys say amen? So listen, there's got to be a joy. We've got to have a real, not manufactured, not cookie cutter, not something. Oh, I got the joy of the Lord, brother. I'm talking about a real joy in your heart that will say, you know what? There's something I'm living for that's so much better than someone, that me losing my witness over someone betraying me. Me losing my witness over politicians who are sinners in my nation doing some things that I disagree with. At what expense are we willing to lose our witness? Well, people come and they're so amazed and excited about what people who are stuck in sin are doing. Why is that surprising? Have you heard about what? That's not okay. Have you considered him? That's not a rebuke. That's just, don't get caught up in the lust of the day, in the happenings of the day. Consider him. What will that do? That will position your heart to live in peace and in righteousness and in connection with your Father. And you have the capacity to love people who disagree with you, to love people who are stuck in bondage and sin, who are stuck in death. And you can actually be patient and kind, and you can manifest the love of God to anyone, no matter what side of the aisle or what color they are or where they're at in life. You can love them with the love of God because you're living in it. This is where we're going. And so I want to ask you, what's the joy that's set before you? Do you know? Because you just said you were running a race. I hope you know the prize at the end of the race. Do you know? It's him. Did you know it's him? He's the prize. There's so much weirdness around the second coming of Jesus Christ. Where's he, pre-trib, post-trib? I have no idea. I know he's coming. That's what I know. And the word says that we'll be with him always. We'll be caught up and we'll see him and we'll be with him always. If your heart's happy, it should tell your face. That's the entire point of all of this, is we will be with him forever. Now listen, I want you to see this, because I think what's happening in hearts, I sense it right now. I sense it this morning. Go to verse 12. This is so important, specifically for our culture, specifically in light of what we do in this room morning, noon, and night. We minister to his heart. We receive from him. We're transformed by him. But watch this, verse 12. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. These are folks who were tired. He says, and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Watch this. Strive for peace with everyone. And here we go. And for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So the Father disciplines us. Watch this. I want you to see this. We just read it. The Father goes, I'm going to discipline my children. I'm going to put them in an environment to be sinned against. Think about that. Your Father would willingly do this. He will put you in an environment to experience pain from other people. Why? So that you can share his holiness. And why does he care about that? Because you can't see God without his holiness. Think about the intimacy. God's like, I just want them to see me. Let's get to the motive of the heart of God. Why would God do that? That doesn't seem fair. He wants you to see him. Why? Because he knows when you see him, your heart will be satisfied. You see him, you're done. There was a meal in this worship set between the dancers. And Trace is on his knees and he's weeping. Why? See, some of you saw him and you're like, why is he weeping? He sees something that sometimes our hearts don't see. Come on, anyone been frustrated? Like, I don't see the Lord. I don't see what he's doing. It's a confession, not in a bad way. It's a confession of there's a lack of holiness in which I'm not able to see him. So holy, he says so clearly, without holiness, you cannot see the Lord. You can't see him. And so what happens when you can't see him, you start making stuff up about him. Because you got Instagram and you got to say something. Well, you can't just leave all those people hanging. So you got to say something, but then all of a sudden you create this subculture of something that's not actually him. It's not connected to him. It's not connected to the living God, the consuming fire, the Holy One of Zion, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's disconnected from that reality. Why? Because it seems right to me. Because I don't like pain. See, you should be worried if the Father is not disciplining you and you're not aware of that discipline. You should be very, very, very concerned. If the entirety of your life is nothing but pleasure, you should be concerned. Now, let me caveat that a little bit. Let me help you understand that. For me, I'll give you some examples. God disciplines me oftentimes through my perspective. I'll be in an environment, I'll be in a situation, and my perspective will be causing me a measure of pain and anxiety and fear. You pick the negative fruit that you want, the thing you struggle with, fear of the future, I don't know if God's gonna give me this desire of my heart, anxiety, whatever the thing is. And the way that the Father often disciplines me is he comes, if I'm willing to come into an environment like this, into the secret place, it can happen all of there. You bring your heart before him because he's a good father. Okay, I'm getting practical now. And you say, God, I have anxiety. I have frustration. I have pain in my heart because of what someone did. Hey, this pastor let me down and they should have done this and they're a Christian. And they act in the sinful way, and you bring this pain before the Lord. And in that moment, you give God an opportunity to speak into your life, hopefully, Lord willing, through this. If you know this, he'll use this. I was talking to Mike before. Sometimes we get so like, well, the Lord told me, you know, well, the Lord told me to do this. Okay. As a pastor, as people walking in fellowship with people, if the Lord told you and you're not open to the interpretation of what the Lord told you in light of this, do you see the danger in that? What can someone say? You put someone in a really difficult spot. Because now what you're doing is you're exalting your spirituality. If you can't let someone speak into it, if someone can't weigh it with you based on the word, based on all the cards on the table, can we go here?
Yes.
I feel the grace to go here. See, if you're so spirit, and that's what the Lord told me, that's what I'm doing. Okay. Versus, hey, I felt like the Lord shared this with me. What do you think? Does that bear witness with you? I'm open-handed. You could say, hey, you know what? Maybe that's right. Maybe it's just not the right timing. See, that's healthy. Why? Because number one, it acknowledges that you belong to a body and your decision matters. What you do matters. Did you know that? You have pastors in this house. If you belong in this house, we care about you, believe it or not. And it's hard. I'll say this. I'll confess. We're, 1,500 people on a weekend sometimes. That's biblically, that's a city. You know Capernaum, when it gathered at the town of Jesus, that was about 1,500 people. So Capernaum is gathering every weekend. We want to know all of you. We're putting processes to get into your life and for people to be in contact. But we know many of you, you're longing for connection and it's really hard to get. We confess that. We acknowledge that. This is the pain of a growing church. But there's people who are willing, and we're praying and we're seeking God. God, help us build so that pastors are not burnt out. Pastors are not spinning wheels. Like, can you, we're in this together. Amen. And what you do matters. And I don't want to create a culture where we can just, well, God told me this. And let's create an environment where we let the word of God, because listen, when God gives it to you through his word and by his spirit and weight and counsel, it will last. And you won't just ride the roller coaster of your spirituality. And some of you feel like you're on that. You're like, you're just going round and round this thing. And you wonder why you don't have more momentum or longevity. Because God will build slowly, and he'll build with pain, and he'll build with discipline. Why? Because he actually believes that Christ will come out of you in time. Amen. I'm preaching. I feel this. I feel this so deeply in my heart, specifically for our house. Christy, my wife, will tell you, I'm really, really intense, and I'm also really joyful and goofy. But I often feel that from the Lord as well. I feel the Lord is like so kind. The Lord is so like humble and so unassuming, right? And then he turns and you see this like side of him and you're like, I'm terrified. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't ever get so familiar with the Lord that you're like, oh yeah, I know. And sometimes the discipline of the Lord, it just looks like he's been showing you this one side of his face and then he just does this. And he just turns and you see a different side of him and it's still him. But listen, we're talking about God here. He's bigger than our framework. And so we have to always carry a humility in our hearts with our framework, with what we believe, what we know. You carry a humility and say, God, I've seen a lot. I know a lot. I've been amazed at a lot, but I know there's so much more. And if for all of eternity, I'm going to be blown away by different aspects of your face and your character and nature, I bet we should just kind of maybe dial it back a little bit and put it back into first gear and just maybe be in awe for a little bit. I'm saying that because there's a posture of our hearts and of the hearts of believers that I'm crying for in this hour. It's a heart that is set apart. It's a heart that longs for intimacy. It's a heart that loves people. That's slow to speak, slow to become angry. Mighty in love, mighty in works, peaceful, holy, otherly. Are you guys with me? Yes. I know that's the desire of your heart. I know there's something inside of you that says, yes, I desire that. I long for that. And I want to appeal to that in you because I believe that's God in you. I don't believe you're here. I don't believe you're at the upper room or at church because you just want to see how far you can go. You know, how away from, you know, God you can get, right? Would you guys come up with the team come up? We're gonna finish a certain way. We've got about 10 minutes. I really believe God wants to help you identify his hand of discipline in your life and to not run from pain. For some of you, that may be new, that may be revelatory. Like the idea that God in his love, there's a season could be painful, that it could be God's doing. And some of you say, well, what about, you know, well, what if it's the devil? How do I know? Well, he won't let the devil touch me. And I like that because that feels right too. But then you have Jesus telling Peter and he says, hey, Peter, the devil's asked to sift you like wheat. And Peter's like, and you told him no, right? That's what my version is. You told him no, right? Like you gave him like the judo jab. He's like, no, I actually didn't tell him no. You did, say it again. You didn't do what? Yeah, I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail. No, 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 Jesus, I don't like that. You're going to let him touch me? Yeah, why? Because I'm in you. and you can't lose. Stand to your feet. They're gonna just play, but I'm gonna speak something to you. We're gonna do something. Christ is in you. I pray he is. If you've been born again, if you've confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord, you've received him not just as Savior, but as Lord. Oh, come on. We love him to save us, but he's also Lord. Amen. He's Lord. Lord means he's Lord. Lord means he's the boss and you're not. Woo, it's liberating. Happy are the people whose God is Lord. Anxious are the people whose God is a genie in a bottle. You can write that down. Happy are the people whose God is Lord. What does that mean? Jesus, you're Lord. I trust you completely. I feel this way. I feel that kind of way. But your love, you love me. So here's the thing. There is a sound of triumph. There is a sound of victory that you are made for. There is a sound of joy. And listen, we've been in trying times. We've been with sin clinging closely. He says, I want you to cast aside those weights and those sins that so closely try to cling to you. How many of you just feel like you've been slimed? Like 2020, like it's just, you just feel dirty a little bit. With all the stuff happening. We're gonna cast that off this morning. Okay, I got four people ready. See, you may be more tired than you think. Listen, there is a day coming. You were made to triumph in him. You were made for joy. You were made to share in his holiness. And the pain was not meant to kill you. It was meant to cause you to partake of his holiness.